Kind of surprising words, huh? Ha! Unless you hate your mother and father and kids and spouse and even your own life, you cannot follow me. Holy jumping up and down. Does Jesus mean this? Is Jesus saying we need to be bitter and angry and hate our own lives? You know, we were going along pretty well with the love your neighbor concept, caring for the weak and poor, even forgiving those who hurt us. But really, hate your parents, your families, and your friends? Hate your own life? Whew. Hate is a mighty heavy word. It has an emotional connotation that means to despise. Now, to be clear, this is not what Jesus wants us to do. What's going on here is what English majors call hyperbole, over-exaggeration in order to make a point. Of course, the danger with this kind of overstatement comes when we get too literal with it and we miss the point. We had a student in confirmation a number of years ago who said, you know what, I can't do it. I cannot love God more than my parents. I absolutely cannot hate my parents. It's a choice I can't make. He got stuck in the literalism of it, and he thought that meant he had to choose between family and God. And then, just in case we're not driven away yet, Jesus said, count the cost. This ain't going to be easy. Whoever does not deny yourself, take up your cross, and carry it, cannot be my disciple. Oh, and by the way, give up all your possessions. Carrying your cross means choosing to sacrifice those things that are most dear and important to us, not for the sake of sacrifice alone, but in order to love others, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless, forgive our enemies, turn the other cheek, pray for those who persecute us and who are mean to us and nasty. So there you have it. If you want to follow Jesus, you need to hate all the people in your life you love. You need to hate your own life. We need to get rid of everything we have. Who's in? Is it really that stark? Do we really, truly need to hate everybody we love and those who love us? Do we really need to get rid of everything we have, those things we hold precious and dear, in order to follow Jesus? Well, not literally. But it sure gets our attention, doesn't it? Now, the way this shows up in Matthew is Jesus says, whoever loves parents or children or spouse more than me cannot follow. So maybe another translation for us might be, let go. Let go of the things in your life that become the most important things. Let go of father and mother and spouse and children and brothers and sisters. Yes, even let go of yourself. Let go of the things in life that define us and end up limiting us. The things we use to feel safe and secure. If we want to be serious about following Jesus, he says we cannot be held back by the things in our lives that become too important. This is fundamentally about the concept of attachment. Attachment is about being too attached to the things we have, to people, ideas, titles, positions, possessions, and all the other things that define our lives. It's okay to have those things in our lives, but when they become the most important thing, they limit us and we will not be able to follow. We will be kind of like a dog on a 15-foot line. You can run as fast as you want for 15 feet. And then you come to a rather abrupt stop. The truth is, it is not possible to not have some level of attachment. If we did not have some level of attachment to things in our lives, we would not love. We would not have ambition. We would not have drive. The problem comes when we are too attached, and those things actually become attached to us, and they become like barnacles on a ship, creating drag and slowing us down. We get over-attached to things when they start to become the most important things in our lives to the exclusion of anything else. So we know that whenever we hang on to things too tightly, they end up hanging on to us. We give it the power to run our lives, to keep us from knowing peace and feeling content. Oh, and it happens so easily. We talk about this all kinds of ways. You've heard me say, I don't have a garden anymore. It has me. Or we will hope that getting the next new thing will make us happy and content. And you know what? Maybe it will. For days. Maybe even weeks. And then it breaks. Or it doesn't work the way we thought it would. Or it's no longer shiny and new. When I got my new phone, one of the products on here was Siri, the know-it-all. And I thought, oh, is this going to be cool? I can be in my car and say, Siri, give me directions. Well, I did that for like a week, right? And then I just stopped using it. Now, the only time Siri talks to me is when I sit on my phone. I was working on my deck yesterday, and Siri said, I don't understand what you are saying. Siri is no longer cool. Siri is kind of an annoyance. I'm starting to know what Jesus means by hating things. I hate lima beans, too. And sorry, John, even eggplant. The deal is, Jesus does not want anything to get in the way of us following him. We can love family and friends. We can have our stuff, but what Jesus warns us against is our stuff having us, or loving people more than him. See, the difference is about our priorities. If we love God first, then we are able to love others more and better and more deeply in a different way that is not merely human-based. People like to talk about Christian marriage. Well, this is what it is. When we love God first, we experience what it means to be completely forgiven. We experience what it means for God to be patient with us. We learn what it is like to be made new, to not sweat the small stuff, to be understood and loved no matter what. Once we have experienced those things with God, then we get to model it in marriage and in our families and with our friends and in our communities. As far as our money and wealth and possessions go, we can still have those things. But it's what we do with them that matters. Jesus talks about this a lot. Jesus talks about money and the dangers of it more often than he talks about anything else. So Jesus is being clear. Count the cost. Following him is not just lip service. It's not just saying some words. It's not just going to church and doing some religious-looking things. Jesus did not come to start another religion. The world has plenty of those. Jesus came to bring a new time, a new era that he called the kingdom of God. And it is not a specific place. It is a way of life, the way of freedom, the way of love and compassion and generosity and mercy. Jesus describes it as carrying our crosses. That means choosing to sacrifice the things that are most dear to us in order to help others. It means to help others even if it's inconvenient or if it costs us money or if it messes up our schedules. It means to live with empathy in the center of our lives, being able to understand what other people are feeling when they suffer and when they hurt. Now, as we know, empathy is sadly something to decline in our time. These days, it's common to turn a blind eye to those in suffering, or maybe worse, to rationalize it or even blame them for it. Jesus calls us to not only see those in pain, those in need, and those who suffer. He also calls us to care for them, to soothe their pain, to help them with their needs, to accompany them in their suffering. Jesus calls us into a way of life that is based on love and sharing and forgiveness and generosity. It is a life of freedom and joy that fills us with more contentment and peace than anything or anyone in this world could possibly give us. So count the cost. We can choose. We can choose the shallow, two-dimensional world we live in, with its activity and stuff, or we can deny ourselves and be free and take up our cross and follow. Follow Jesus and live. Follow and be free. Amen.